Well, barely I say unto you, I am full. I'm stuffed. Thank you very much for the wonderful meal, the time of fellowship. We had a wonderful service this morning. I felt like the Lord was with us. It was great getting to see everyone. It was great having a fellowship with you all. It was great being able to partake in that food. And I am mindful that it is an afternoon service. So my intent is to not keep you long before we give way to the message from Elder Lawrence. Brother Todd said in his prayer that may he continue to be a safe harbor for us. And that thought's on my mind. If we could, let's turn to Psalm 46. Just to read three verses. And before we get to the actual verses itself, the Psalms, a lot of times you'll see them, there's almost like a little precursor to the Psalms themselves. You can see a little bit of synopsis of what's going on. In this particular one, it says, to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. Let's say it this way. Every priest was a Levite, but not every Levite was a priest in the Old Testament. Some of them actually had to do other things. If they weren't priests, some of them would play musical instruments. Some of them would actually arrange songs. Some of them would actually sing songs. And the best I can tell, that word Alamoth is not really a place. It's a musical pitch. When you read the Psalms, a lot of times these things are set, you know, to be sung as music itself with lyrics. And some of them are very solemn and some of them are very somber, and the pitch is set way low for you to remember it. And the way that this is pitched, it would be pitched up very high. It'd be a song of victory so that you would remember that the Lord is victorious. The psalmist wants you to know that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. The Lord is the refuge. He's a refuge for us no matter what transpires in our life. There's a lot of times that I've seen it within my own experiences. Sometimes I've had to deliver very difficult news to some of the Lord's people. Maybe it deals with the loss of life, someone they love. Maybe it's a loss of something else. And you can see it. It feels like the very earth beneath their feet has been removed from them. There is a fellow that my brother knew. My brother, a little older than I, he lived out in Texas for many years, and this is probably well over 20 years ago. He worked with a fellow out there that, in my brother's description of him to me, from all accounts, this man was a child of God. I mean, he loved the Lord, and as much as light and knowledge and understanding that he had a zeal towards the Lord. He was of a different order, and he believed some different things, but he had a genuine love for the Lord. And his love for the Lord carried him to do certain things. And one of those things was to regularly take mission trips. Like I said, it's a little bit different order. They believe different things. But he took almost his entire family with him on a mission trip at one point in time. And they left behind their one son. He was the youngest. He wasn't probably old enough to go. And even if he was old enough to go, it may not have been the safest area for him to go. So they decided to leave him behind with some family members. So his wife, his daughters, himself, they went to this country to do what they believed the Lord called them to do. They went to try to preach the message to the best of their ability about the Lord. And while they were there, the place where they were at was so dangerous that even them, as missionaries, they had to have armed guards with them. And the men were there to do certain construction projects, and the women were there to do some other things. And while the men were all away from their base camp doing construction on a certain facility out there at this country, armed men from the area came into the base camp And they kidnapped the wives and the daughters. Now, providentially, the Lord allowed this man and the entire group of men that he was with to get back around the time that the men were leaving that base camp with the daughters and the wives with them. And it was a very dramatic scene. It was a gunfight that ensued. The men had to chase those rebels out into the jungle. But the Lord blessed them. They were able to get their wives and their daughters back. Now, as soon as he got to that base camp and he saw all those women being ushered out and being forced out, you can bet your bottom dollar that would be something like the very ground beneath your feet being removed. But the Lord blessed them. And they were able to get them all back. And they all got them back to what they thought was a safe place there at their base camp. And it was like they were back on the mountaintop there, you know. They'd seen something horrible, something terrible was about to take place, but the Lord had delivered them from that, and now they're all safe, and everything seems good, and it seems like they're on the mountain. But that mountain was soon thrown into the depths of the sea when they got a call from the base camp that their son, who they had left behind, had been with some friends at a class. And that class was taught by an instructor, and the instructor was telling them and teaching them how to properly fall down on the trampoline. And the only child that they left behind had fallen wrong on the trampoline and become paralyzed from the neck down. One hit right after the other. It felt really bad, and then the Lord elevated them up, and they were really good and in a good spot. And then the mountain just got dropped into the sea. And then when that mountain got dropped into the sea, the waters just started to roar. Whether the times be good or whether the times be bad, the Lord is our refuge, a very present help during times of trouble. And what the psalmist here is telling us with this psalm of victory is we need faith in the Lord. We truly do. It's easy to say we have faith. It's easy to say that we lean on the Lord when times are really going good for us. But when things are really going bad and things are spiraled as it seems like it's out of our control, it's one thing to say that we have faith in the Lord, but it's another to actually do it. Right. Because we don't see our hope materialize into something tangible right there in front of us. We don't see any evidence that the Lord is working for our favor. And a lot of times the Lord's people get frustrated, but the psalmist says the Lord is our refuge no matter what it is. Go to Him no matter what it is. Because the things of this earth will grow strangely dim the more that we go to the Lord. You got to have faith. And for just a moment here this morning, I want to talk to you about two different individuals, one that had faith, one that did not, and what we can glean from that. The first is an example from the Old Testament. You got to go all the way back to the time of David. He was not the king yet. Saul was still on the throne. Saul had a son by the name of Jonathan. Jonathan and David were very good friends. Saul, during his reign, constantly had to fight with the Philistines. And at this point in time, when you come to 1 Samuel chapter 14, Jonathan, Saul's son, has been separated from Saul and the armies. It's just Jonathan and his armor bearer. And they are standing face to face with a garrison of the Philistines. This is the kind of faith that you're going to want, by the way. This is the kind of faith that I want. Jonathan appears to be a man of God because Jonathan fully believes that the Lord is able to deliver that garrison into their hands. It's just those two. They're the only two there. And Jonathan believes, look, if the Lord's in the matter, we're going to take them. If the Lord's in the matter, it doesn't matter what kind of a fight it is, because if the Lord's with us, we will win that victory. But it may be that the Lord calls on us to fight. And if we got to fight, then we're willing to do so. I'm willing to do so. What about you? And you could understand if the armor bearer said, ain't no way, buddy. If it's just Jonathan, if it's just the armor bearer, that means there's one sword between them. That sword's Jonathan's. It's not the armor bearer's. When Jonathan tells him, I think we need to fight. I think the Lord's delivered them into our hands. We need to go fight this battle. The Lord's with us. Now give me my sword. The armor bearer, he's got nothing. But his response is, let's do it. Right. I believe, I believe that you love the Lord. I believe that you're a man of God. And if you believe that the Lord has told us that the victory is ours, that we're going to go do this and that we need to fight, then let's go do it. I may not have a sword, but I'll go fight right along with you. That's a tremendous amount of faith. That's a man who knows that the Lord is a refuge and he is going to deliver him from whatever he stands in front of. There's times when the Lord actually calls you to fight battles that you face. There really is. I mean, you may be fighting all kind of battles internally with things that you struggle with that none of the rest of us know about, but you're called to fight them day by day. There's times when the Lord tells people in the Word of God that Jesus Christ tells them specifically, take up thy cross, yours, your individual cross. It's a battle. It's a fight. You're going to have to do it day after day, but I will be with you. It seems overwhelming. It seems daunting. And you're going to wonder, why do I have to continue to fight? But I will be with you. And if the Lord is with you, you'll win. Right. The victory is his. He is our refuge. Right. So that armor bearer says, absolutely, let's do it. I believe it. If we got to fight, we got to fight. Let's go. That's the kind of faith I want. That's the kind of faith that understands that Jesus, that the Lord is our refuge. There's another example. Very quickly. Find it in the New Testament. New Testament, you find this in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 22. And I think I've just stepped on something here inside this little pulpit. Hopefully I didn't break anything there. I'm so used to doing that at Wilson Creek that I apologize for that if I did. But in Luke chapter 22, you're going to see where the Lord, right after his communion with the disciples, he begins to tell them some certain things. He says, look, there was a time before that I sent you out and I told you you didn't have to have a purse, you didn't have to have a scrip, don't worry about shoes, don't worry about anything. I'll take care of you. But now that time's changed. When you go out, you're going to need certain things. You take the purse with you. You take the scrip. And if you don't have a sword, well, then you sell your garment and you buy one because you're going to need them. And they said to the Lord, behold, there are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. There's 11 of them there. He says, you're going to need a sword. And they said, well, we got two. And he tells them it's enough. Mathematically, that wouldn't seem to be the right case, right? He told each one of them, you're going to need a sword when you go out. They've only got two between 11 of them. But the Lord's response is, it is enough. Why is it enough? Because he's with them.
Amen.
And as long as the Lord is with you, you will be okay. There's times when the Lord calls you to fight certain battles that you face, but there are times where he doesn't. He calls you to do something else. Immediately after he's told that there are two swords and he tells them it is enough, he goes out into the Garden of Gethsemane. He tells the disciples that are with him, Peter, James, and John, you pray. All I want you to do is pray. And he comes back and he finds them asleep. Second time he tells them, look, I just want you to pray. That's all you have to do. Pray. They fall asleep again. And when the Lord comes to them the final time, he says, it's okay. It's done. You don't have to worry about staying up any longer. You don't have to worry about anything else. We're good. We're at the point where we need to be at. It's then when Judas comes in with the soldiers and Peter draws the sword. At one point in time during this whole conversation that the Lord has with those three apostles, did he ever tell them to fight? He never did. There are times, even though it feels like you are fighting a battle that you just can't win, I'm fighting this over and over, I'm struggling with this, I'm doing these things, but nothing's really helping. I'm doing this and that and the other, and there's no relief. Well, brother, according to what I'm looking at right now, sometimes you're not called to fight. Sometimes you're just called to pray to the Lord and let him bring the deliverance. Yes. It's not a battle that you can win. It's a battle that may be beyond you. But nothing is ever beyond the Lord. Nothing is ever too far out of his reach. No battle is too great for him. The Lord is our refuge. No matter what we stand in need of today, he's ready to provide. May he be with you today.